NHFM Friday night talking sports. JP with you through until 7 o'clock in the studio, as ever, with John Garland, Chris Bass, and Malcolm Blackburn. And, well, we've got to start Grand Slam 2, Chris.
Yeah, amazing. The boys were absolutely amazing, you know, throughout the season. Didn't play particularly well against St Mary's. I thought St Mary's battled hard, and the game in some ways could have swung either way. I felt that St George's were nervous for the first 37 minutes, but once we got a goal, then we always knew that there'd be no looking back for us, because perhaps we could have pushed on and got one or two more. But at the same time, St Mary's could have easily gone in 2-0 up at half-time. So it's a credit to St Mary's and other teams this year that have pushed us hard, like Peel have pushed us hard. Old boys tried. You know, I just think it'd be nice if everybody upped their game. But going back to St George's, it's a real honour to be involved with a football club that has the players with that desire and passion, and also have the coaching staff who I believe are absolutely exceptional in Lee and Paul. So it's just been another fantastic season for us. And to think that in the last 5 years we've won 2 Grand Slams and 3 Trebles, and I think it's 5 Charity Shields, is just unreal.
Grand Slam as a player or a manager?
For me, I enjoyed both. But in terms of admiration, then it's as a manager.
As a player for me, and we were the better side. I thought I just nodded off there. I've just had the pizza.
Yeah. It was a real pleasure playing up front with John Garland. Boy, can that boy shift. He'd give Sam Kane a good run for his money, I tell you.
I mean, I'm sure it's absolutely no shock or surprise to you, but certainly earlier in the year, the guests we've had in here, and certainly reading the papers and that, St George's Grand Slam, it all of a sudden seems a bit of a shock to a lot of people. I'm sure it was expected, you know, not expected to win the Grand Slam, but to be there and thereabouts for you boys.
Well, I think there's very few people that expected Peel to slip up. I remember speaking to Kia Morris a couple of weeks before they were due to play Old Boys and Peel, and he was quite adamant that he thought that, you know, that they wouldn't have the bottle to see it through, and he was quite right. And I'm sure there would be, you know, one or two others out there would have said the same thing. But personally, I felt that, you know, Peel had the firepower, but they obviously displayed nerves in those last two league games, similar to what we did in the final. And that's what, you know, that's what football's all about. I'm sure if we were in the same position next year, because all the pressure is off, we might go on and be able to relax and win it 4 or 5 nil, whoever we're playing.
And you know, a few people saying not the prettiest of finals, but that doesn't matter to you, does it?
Not at all. It, you know, football's about winning, and winning is a mentality. And not only do we have great football players, but they have a fantastic mentality in terms of getting results.
And referees on Sunday and green socks.
Well, yeah, I've got Johnny. He's gonna have a go at me. But I had a terrible migraine on Sunday, and I come out with a scruffy bit of paper and didn't put the numbers on the shirt for John.
I wasn't going to mention it,
but I'll mention it for you, John. But yeah, there was a situation with the referees and tapes and things, and I was a little bit irate to my buddy here, on who's fourth official. But the reason was for that was purely, I've seen it so many times, goalkeeper comes out of goal, he goes up the other end, the other team's got a free kick, he scores, and then I'm standing there squaring up with John and said, what are you doing about the socks? But between them, they decide it was okay. But whether the rules say it's okay, I don't know.
John, your take on the green sock final?
Oh, it's in the past, that, JP. It's in the past. I mean, you can linger over it. At a split decision, if he'd had to change it, one of the St Mary's fellas would have just laid down on the pitch. The game would have been delayed 5 or 10 minutes, and people in the crowd would have got irate. So we made the decision, keep them on. You've just come out of goal. It's okay. Change your shorts as quick as you can, and let's keep the game going. Right or wrong, amateur football, we're trying to make it professional. But in them cases, you've only got a split second to make your mind up, and you 50% of the time you're going to be right, and 50% of the time you're going to be wrong.
I think a lot of these things, you know, from the sideline, from coaches and managers alike, they're actually done to create an impact, whether it's the right impact or the wrong impact. You can only tell that in hindsight. But, you know, having a bit of a rant at the referee over that actually delays the free kick being taken, so people are losing concentration, so you don't really know what the outcome's going to be. So yeah, it is a bit of banter. I thought the referee had a decent game besides that. So, you know, everybody's entitled to one mistake.
Well, I got one big apology from somebody in the Bass family straight after the match.
Did you?
Karen.
She's a lovely lady, is Karen. She's lovely.
She says, I have to live with him. You only have to prove him for 90 minutes. I says, God help you.
Yeah. The one thing, though, JP, I think that's been missed out of all this is, of course, we did give St. George's that midwinter break in Toulouse, France, which obviously I think has set them up for the Grand Slam win.
So St. John's have helped? Or
well, it wasn't St. John's, it was obviously
Oh, yeah, Mifa. You didn't have your St. John's.
No, it was Mifa. It was Mifa.
Yeah, there's a lot been said about that, but at the end of the day, you're only talking about a 2 or 3 day trip. If you don't go on those trips, then you're out training, and the lads would have probably spent more time training than they did actually playing, so it's nice to get off the island and represent, you know, Ellen Vannon, especially the Isle of Man. But Peel obviously felt that once they beat us at home, that was it. The league was theirs. But, you know, the season's 24 games long, and, you know, it's the first one over the line at the end of it.
They slipped up against All Boys. We all went to watch All Boys v Peel, and Peel just didn't get out, didn't turn up. And I would have put Kez on a lot earlier. I know Falky's got 99% of the things right. He's beat St. George's twice, so he's done a cracking job down there.
Yeah.
And if the boys stick together, that'll be more exciting for St. George's to push them. Hopefully All Boys will improve and play like they did against Peel every week. But I think where Falky slipped up was against All Boys, and they just didn't turn up on the day.
Do you not think, though, I mean, I watched that game as well, I just thought Old Boys defensively, I've not seen them play like that. I thought they were immense. And the goalkeeper,
Kinger and Noxy.
Yeah, and the goalkeeper in the second half, Sam, I mean, where he was pulling them saves out from. I mean, I just thought it was one of them days that Peel weren't going to score. Yes, they did get one. But, I mean, when you look at that, I thought Old Boys were defensively were immense. And then, of course, Peel pushed on. So, of course, with the Stewart up front, you know what the outcome's going to be. The long ball bang back of the net.
It's easy to say, you know, tactically whether they got it right or wrong. On the day, Peel had chances. But the most impressive thing about that game for me was the way Tommy Miller and Kinger completely nullified Josh Kelly, who is now Footballer of the Year. He's had a great season, and it goes back to what I said before. You know, you're not always going to be able to play pretty football. I think Peel, perhaps, for me, I agree with you, John, I'd have had Kez on straight into the second half, and I'd played Josh up alongside him, because Ash and P. Kelly and the people that were trying to run with the ball, you can't, as anybody ever tried running with the ball on a cabbage patch, because yeah, that's what it was like.
And Noxy did well. He marked Ashley out of the game. I would have had Ashley off. Not that he's a bad player, but every now and again you have a bad game.
They did so well. I mean, old boys, you know, what they did is they dug deep. They weren't necessarily the better team, but by Christ, they dug deep. And, you know, I was in the crowd, and I was giving Callum Stewart a bit of a knock-in, because in the first half, he just couldn't seem to get
and
hold
Sam
of the
Holiday
ball.
As well.
And in the second half, Callum Stewart, once he scored that first goal, he was almost unstoppable for the second one, wasn't he? Yeah. It was, you know, really, really good. And I think Hudgie and Gary Quirk, if their delivery had been better, I'm sure Old Boys would have got two or three more, because Peel have to push on.
I tell you who had a great game as well, young Ward in the middle of the park. He strolled round and he had Hurdy, stopped Hurdy from playing. Once you stop Hurdy from playing, I think the Peel cog just didn't roll.
I think Robbie Ward's a terrific player, but my disappointment for Robbie Ward is only ever played at 30% fitness. He's just not fit enough. If he really wants to get into the top sort of like echelons of football, he needs to, you know, get out there and beat the track and get himself really fit.
Echelons of football, is that Mifa?
That would be Mifa, John,
that's
yes.
That's a big word.
Or St. George's. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Right, we will take a quick break now. We'll be back next.